Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Woman walking through a park in Long Beach on Tuesday afternoon unexpectedly found herself in the path of a small airplane making an emergency landing on a soccer field. The incident happened at 4 o'clock when the aircraft, described as possibly experimental, came down in Hartwell Park. That's about a mile and a half short of the Long Beach Airport. First responders arrived to find the plane resting on its belly with broken landing gear. Aerial footage showed the fuselage largely intact, with debris scattered around a badly cracked rear wing. A friend of the woman said she'd been walking her dog in the park when she was hit by an airplane. The woman, who was in her 40s, and the pilot, an elderly man who had to be extricated from the aircraft, both did suffer moderate injuries. They were both transported to a local hospital and are reported to be in stable condition. Officials have not released further details about the circumstances leading to the crash or the identities of those involved. But the investigation is ongoing. They say it could have been a lot worse. Our question, what is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROD.
That quote is from them, not the woman that was hit by a plane.
Would you get in an experimental aircraft?
No. Would you put experimental in front of something that goes in the air? Like, no.
Can't you used to be able to, like, order a kit to kind of build a plane? Maybe like a go-kart style frame.
Isn't that how John Denver died?
He was in an experimental aircraft. I think his was a little bit more
sophisticated.
I guess.
But still, when you put experimental, then the cost to me kind of doesn't matter. Because as much money as he probably spent.
Yeah.
You see, but it's not enough for it to not be experimental.
Right.
No, thank you.
They never found his head. That's correct.
Oh, yes. Jesus. Oh, you didn't know that?
Oh, yeah, seriously. Yeah. Like, they found his body. They just didn't find all
of it. So the only thing on his shoulders, and they found him, was sunshine. What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
That dog hung out with everybody except you.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
All right, so about 8 years ago, flying through Denver, we were sitting there waiting for our flight. It was a little bit delayed. They said we were waiting on our flight crew and our pilot. And we sat there. Our flight crew showed up. Pilot did not. And then all of a sudden, they said our flight was canceled and because we couldn't find a flight crew. And our pilot and the flight crew walked right across the terminal, got on the other plane, and took a plane somewhere else.
Wait. So you're sitting on the plane waiting for the flight crew and the pilot?
No. We're still sitting in the terminal.
You're at the gate.
At the gate. Right. They cancel your flight, and you watch what would have been your flight crew and pilot walk to a different gate and take the hell off?
Yeah.
And so how long is there any explanation for that? Like, wait, they were here, but they decided to go somewhere else. I mean, what do they tell you?
No, they just say, we can't find a flight crew for yours. This was your flight crew. We can't find a pilot for it. But we're going to cancel your flight because we can't find a pilot for it. And then all of a sudden a pilot shows up. I was like, well, that should be our pilot, right? Well, that's supposed to be your pilot, but he's taking this other flight. And then the flight crew walks over and gets on the other flight.
Yeah, when I was flying back from seeing my daughter in Africa, I got to Newark. And it was, I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. My flight was 8, 7:30. Yeah. And they called off that flight at 6:30 because the pilot and the crew were stuck in traffic. And I'm like, but it's there's still like an hour and a half. Like, even if we're...
So they're stuck in New York traffic.
Even if they're 15 minutes late or 20 minutes late, like, I would be willing to sit at the gate for another hour and a half.
Given the option.
And if you can make time, that's great. But if you can't, don't worry about it. But I still need to get back to Seattle. So they just canceled the flight, just dead canceled it.
How long did you have to wait?
I ended up flying to, what was that flight route? It was, I want to say it was to Dallas, from Dallas to San Francisco, from San Francisco to Portland, from Portland, from Seattle. And I'd already been on a plane for 16 hours.
Right.
And it was supposed to be nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, Newark.
And then to Seattle. How long was your delay after they canceled your flight, man?
12 hours.
God. And there's nothing to do, right? I mean, you just hang out at the airport and spend a lot of money on expensive booze.
There's nothing to do in Denver. I mean, it's Denver. Come on.
No, you can't go anywhere. If you go downtown and drive back, you missed your flight.
Yeah, I mean, that airport is so
far
away.
It's not even close. The airport is in Salt Lake City for Denver.
We're just like, are we driving back to Seattle? I thought we were flying.
The mayor or the governor's brother owned that property.
I believe it was.
There's a lot of
something. Something weird.
The governor's brother owned the property. And so he got a windfall of cash to build the airport.
But they should have a high-speed rail.
Something.
They should have something to get you back to Denver.
The train's better. I've done both.
Like, you've done the train in Denver?
Yeah.
They have a rail in.
It's not high-speed, but it's...
You're not in traffic.
I would rather take that than sit in that traffic or pay for an Uber. But the worst... I've been on flights that have been diverted, that made emergency landings. The worst one was like 2 years ago, right? So we finally had my dad's ceremony in Arlington National Cemetery, right? So I'm in... Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
I'm going to go up and visit some family on the Cape, right? So for a change, this is simple. It's like an hour flight. So I kill time all afternoon, get to the airport, we back away from the gate, we pull back in. Then you're sitting there for a while, and they were like, you can get off if you want. So me and four other people get off, and then within, seems like 2 minutes, they're like, you got to get back on.
All right.
Yada, yada, yada. They're just running excuses, right? And I get it at a certain point. The flight attendant's not going to say it, but the one woman on the flight, like a row over, she's like, my band is playing in Boston tonight. Like, I'm just asking you, do you have any idea?
Yeah.
And I just kind of leaned over and said, hey, you need to call your band. You're not going to make it.
Right.
And the flight attendant went to say something. I said, look, I put my hands up and said, I'm not saying whatever. I'm not being rude here. This is going to go on for a few more hours. We both know it. Just, I would call your band.
Yeah.
Then to our flight. We don't even land in Boston. We land in Rhode Island, in Warwick.
And why the hell did you land in Rhode Island?
I get that maybe the VP at this point is in Boston. I don't know. It was a bunch of bad excuses. Now, for everybody else going to Boston, they're like, just put us on a bus. They're close.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're like, we can put you in a hotel for a night. We can't put you on buses or whatever. So, like, I was like, whatever. I'll just stay here in Providence. It's basically next to Providence. Yeah. My aunt will pick me up. But same thing. It was like that hour flight. I mean, it seemed like 5 hours. I was like, I should have just got on a train.
You could have drove. You could have driven.
That's why with my mom. I said, screw it. Last summer, I said, Mom, we're taking the Amtrak.
Yeah,
we're
take just the
gonna,
train.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take our time. We're going to enjoy the coast, right?
Yeah.
6.5 hours. But I had spent about that much time.
So you can spend that much time
in
anyway.
The airport anyhow.
Yeah.
What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dennis. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Is this Dennis from the City Council of Firefighters?
It is Dennis from State.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Dennis?
Good. How are you guys all doing?
We're doing great, man. Good. How you been?
Doing well. Hey, so a couple years ago, my wife and I were celebrating an anniversary in September. We went to Maui, had a great trip. About 4 days before we were to be heading back to Seattle, got warning that there's a hurricane off the coast, and they had recommended if you can get a flight, get out of there. And I'm going, well, this is going to be a mess. You know, everybody trying to leave at the same time. And we were on the Kaanapali side of the west side of the island and started talking to some local folks, and they said, probably need to get away from here because there's really only one road out of here unless you want to go around, you know, the north side, and that's not real good.
No.
All right. So if you've ever been to Kahului, that's that small little, you know, the airport town is on Maui. There's an A-frame hotel. It's got a big, huge A-frame. A pretty popular place. Been around for years. So we were.
It's right at the bottom of that cove.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, where that little bay is. Yep.
Yep. And so we were able to grab a room there on Expedia. And I don't even want to tell you what that price was for one night. And so we get there. Again, remember, this is part of our anniversary. You met my wife. She's a lovely gal, real flexible. And all of a sudden, she's like, what are we doing? I said, we're going to go there. We got to get on the other side of the island, so we need to fly it out of here. So we go over there, we check in, and then we're watching the news, and they said, they're going to close the airport. And we're going, oh, my God, we got to get out of here now. So I get on my laptop, jump on a flight. I say, let's go. And she goes, you booked a flight? And I said, yeah. She goes, typical. How much? I go, you don't want to know. We're going to the airport. So we go to the airport. Don't even put gas in the rental car just because the flight was leaving like, you know, an hour and a half. So we get there right away, go through everybody trying to bail out. Our flight went from Maui to Honolulu. And we get off this plane and the wind is just whipping. And I was like, oh, this is going to be real interesting. So we go inside and we're sitting there and we see our flight crew. And the flight crew is having a conversation, and me being nosy, I kind of listen in a little bit. And the pilot says, yeah, about an hour and out, hour and a half out, we're going to get some moderate chop. And my wife says, what's moderate chop? I go, well, it can't be that bad. I mean, they wouldn't let us take off. So we get on this plane, and I'm not kidding you, to the minute, an hour and a half, and this plane starts shaking and rattling to the point where it was a little nerve-wracking. I mean, mm-hmm. to the point where my wife was crying. I'm getting a little nervous. The worst part about it was the little dinger bell for the flight attendants ring. Next thing I know, two flight attendants sitting in first class right there by the, you know, the cockpit, they strap in on their little harnesses.
Yep.
And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I've never seen that before. That made me a little bit nervous. And then I look out the window. I see a wing. I don't see a wing. I see a wing. I don't see a wing. And this went on for about an hour and a half. And it was kind of like passing through some kind of crazy show where all of a sudden it just went completely silent. And we're like, oh, we made it through. And it was really quite the relief. Then the flight attendant comes to me and he says, hey, do you have any medical experience? I said, yeah, that can help a little bit. What's going on? And they said, well, this young gal had a seizure. So I went back and talked to her for a few minutes, made sure she was okay. They moved up to first class, which was nice for her. She, you know, felt a little bit better.
That's why I fake seizures on planes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then here's the great one. The flight attendant says, do we need to land early, emergency landing? We were going to San Francisco.
Where do you land? Right. Where's the emergency?
Yeah, what's closer, L.A.?
Bad signal. No, it's not close. So that was exactly Portland. What I was saying. I said, no, we're going to be fine going to San Francisco, guys. This is perfectly fine. But I've never been really as nervous as that, especially when, you know, your wife gets a little nervous. She starts to cry. I'm feeling bad because I thought I did the right thing, bail off early, get to see the family. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like, maybe we don't get to see the family kind of thing. So, yeah.
Hour and a half, 90 right. minutes is a long time to be in some turbulance.
It is.
Yes.
Dennis, I've only had one experience like that. And that we were on a little puddle jumper. We're flying to see my wife's family. And I knew it was turbulent. I did not think it was as bad as apparently it was. My wife is pregnant, so she's just trying not to spew everywhere, right? She's like, this has got to stop. And it's, what, three seats across, I guess? You know, two and a one. Yeah. And there's a dude sitting across from me in the aisle. And like I said, I knew it was a little choppy. Again, I did not realize how bad it was until after we landed. But the flight attendant, like you're saying, you know, they're up by the cockpit, and it's one flight attendant, and it's this Asian dude, and I just always remember he'd been pretty cool for most of the flight. The turbulence is hitting. It won't stop. Yep. But again, I'm underreacting. I'm just like, whatever. And then I see the dude, he harnesses himself in, which, by the way, you notice they have a harness. We just have belts. Just side note. Anyway, harnesses in, and then he closes his eyes. I see him cross himself, and then his mouth's moving back and forth. And it occurs to me, this dude is saying a freaking prayer. Like, the flight attendant is communicating that we're about to die. So then I make eyes with the guy sitting across from me. And he'd also been equally as calm as I was. And when we saw that, like, we didn't say words. But I look at this guy. He looks at me. We both look at the flight attendant. We look at each other again. And it's just like, this might be it. Because this guy is that. But when we landed, again, everyone was real happy to get off the plane. But my father-in-law, he was straight up. I didn't realize that we'd been circling the airport. I thought we're still on the straight line. And he's like, I honestly thought you guys were going to drop out of the sky and die. I'm like, what? And he goes, man, your plane from the ground view, the wings were going 180 degrees, like back and forth. I'm like, for real? He's like, you didn't notice that? And I'm like, man, like, I knew it was turbulent, but for whatever reason, and I'm glad I did not, but I didn't register how severe this was. He's like, yeah, even the people in the airport clapped when your plane landed.
Dennis, like, I'm a horrible relationship, so let me predicate it with that before I tell you this. But I feel like it's like retirement. You know, when two people retire, and they're at home all the time, they used to work every day. They didn't see each other every day. by a week and a half, that dude's now a greeter at Walmart. He's mm-hmm. like, I got to get out of here. Absolutely. I got to get out of here for like 2 or 3 days. And so does a woman. Like, get the hell out of here. Please, just go. That's my philosophy on airplanes. You're going to be someplace with your significant other mm-hmm. for a week. You typically do not spend every waking hour of your life with this person.
Yeah.
You get a little break in between. It's called a job.
Yeah.
My feeling is, on an aircraft, you get your seat, I'll get mine. I hope you sit by the hottest dude you've ever seen in your life, and you leave me. I don't care. You drive me crazy on an airplane, and I need peace. Yeah. Before we spend 6 days together, 5 days together nonstop, like, this is my zen time. Whatever this five-hour flight is, like, I'm going to sit there, maybe close my eyes, fall asleep without a tap on my shoulder. You know what I mean? Without someone waking me up with a dumb question that's irrelevant to the situation. What is the name of the hotel? We'll figure it out when we land. I don't know.
Who cares?
You know, I can't get on my phone right now. I'm in airplane mode. I don't know. So I've always made it a rule, like, just sit by yourself. It makes travel so much better.
I'm okay, but then again, my wife and I like each other.
Well, I like
my wife,
too.
Which goes a long way.
I like my wife, too. But
we tend to get along very well, especially when we travel, because it's like, if we don't have the kids, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if we don't have the kids, I can drink 15 Jack and Cokes on a plane. She doesn't say anything. If we do have the kids, it's about the third one where it's like, do you really need...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Like, need, mm-hmm. no, want, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it'll let me go to sleep.
Yeah?
That's the truth of life. I'm like, look, man, you always think I'm just here to get drunk. And part of me is. But also, after your third Jack, because I never mix them. I always just take the shot of Jack and leave the Coke can there. I pass out. I sleep. I wake up. I feel great. It's like, you always fall asleep on flights. I'm like, because I always drink whiskey on flights. You put these two. If I don't drink whiskey, you'll notice that I'm wide awake.
And the other thing, I'll read two pages of a book and I'm out.
Yeah,
that'll put me in bed to sleep immediately on an airplane.
Really?
Just starting to read.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. For me, I need, whiskey. Mm-hmm. Or lack
of
sleep.
What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803.
You're talking about the smaller planes. I told you, flying into Missoula. And I guess it happens all the time. It's in that giant valley. But again, we tried to land and then pulled back out. It's already windy. It's already shaking. There is a lightning bolt that looked like it hit the wing. And again, I don't know what my body demeanor was when that woman in her 70s just put her hand on my forearm and said, it's okay. It happens every time.
Oh, every time flying into that airport.
Flying into Missoula, because it's literally just in the middle of this valley.
Yeah.
So there's just crazy winds. The thunderstorm didn't help.
No.
And I don't know, like you're saying, when you're on a plane and it's almost landing and then they go, we can't land, and you got to pull back out, like, you're already a little thrown off, but I swear to God, it was like, this is the front of the plane. It felt like we were like landing kind of sideways.
I want to say.
And then at the final second, kind of straight.
You probably were, because how many videos do you see when they talk about the wind shear, right? And he's playing, you're looking at it on the news, and it's like 75 degrees, and somehow, credit to the pilots, man, like, you know, 50 feet above the ground, They switch it around.
Yeah.
You touch it down. You're like, Jesus, man. I don't want to know that.
I'm one of those nerdy people who follow that flight radar crap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So either Saturday or Sunday, there was a flight coming in from JFK, and I don't know how many times it circled SeaTac.
Yeah.
Two or three times. I don't know if they attempted to land and just couldn't get it down or whatever the deal is. They either diverted that flight to Yakima or to Portland.
Oh, really?
But it was just circling, they just trying to get down. But, I mean, you got to remember, those were, what, 50-mile-an-hour gusts?
Ooh.
We were dealing with on Saturday? I'm pretty sure it was Saturday. But either way, that would be terrifying.
Because if you're not a pilot, I mean, look, pilots are like, hey, man, you know, you just keep it together. I'm like, I understand that. But also, like, this is what you guys do. You've trained to deal with these kinds of situations. As a normal human being just sitting in the back of a big aluminum tube in the sky, we get a little tense, man.
Yeah.
You know, I trust you to be doing a good job because my assumption is you don't want to die. So I'm pretty confident my pilot's going to do his best. That doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
Well, and like Dennis was saying, too, like the first time coming back, you know, that I traveled overseas, when the turbulence hits, it's a little different feeling. I'm probably wrong, the ocean. But I'm just like, well, I'm over the States. We could land somewhere. Right, when you're over the ocean and it starts dropping a little bit.
Oh, dude,
that's one of the...
I was thinking about Airport 77, this movie where they ended up at the bottom of the ocean.
But they lived.
But they lived, Ted.
It was a double-decker plane.
Yeah.
All right.
747.
And then I can't remember what went wrong, but the thing I remember most about that movie, as a kid when it came out, I think I was 8 or whatever. Anyway, this plane, it crashes in the ocean. The authorities obviously trying to find it. Mm-hmm. That's part of the movie. They can't quite find it. So finally, there's another plane or helicopter circling over where they think it went down. And just the shot they did, and it just freaked me out as a kid. You saw the outline of the 747, whatever it was, but it's at the bottom of the ocean.
Yep.
And I cannot explain, but as a kid, I'm like, no. Like,
Ted,
that's my nightmare.
Ted, I was on a...
Airport. There's a movie Airport, and then there's Airport 77.
Yeah, two or three of them. I will tell you this, Ted. At one point in time, I was flying with my grandfather to Florida. We get on a 747. Now, this is probably my second or third air flight I'd taken in my life. I think it was a Pan Am or a TWA. I can't remember what it was.
Way back in the day.
Yeah. So we get on this airplane, and my grandfather says, hey, because I kept looking at this, there's a spiral staircase.
And
like, where does that go? And he goes, it goes upstairs. And elbow my grandmother. I'm going to go get a smoke. I'm going to take my house. So we walk up this freaking, and I've never walked up a spiral staircase before. So all this stuff is very exciting to me.
Yeah.
There's a bar with stools. There's no buckles.
Oh, yeah.
People are up there smoking cigarettes. People are up there playing cards. It's a bar. You walk around. You sit down. You look out the window. There's a bartender back there making drinks. Nothing is secured.
Right.
It was the day. I mean, like, now that I think it was normal to me then.
Sure.
I think of bars and airplanes, man. They'll give kids popcorn up here. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a freaking bar upstairs.
That's awesome.
It was weird.
It is. That was kind of like the height of air travel. How luxurious can we make it? And think about a spiral staircase on your plane. So now it's a two-level plane. You go upstairs, and again, there's a bar, and liquor bottles on the shelves. But like Miles said, they're not secured.
Everyone's smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's smoking. Somebody was smoking stogies, cigarettes. Didn't matter. The whole room, I mean, the filtration system was pretty good.
Was it, though?
You know what? They smoke
inside. You're just used to it.
Maybe I'm just
I think you're used to it because everywhere you went
you could smoke in business class, coach, anyway. And all that on the plane, too. I
mean, they had the ass,
I think they had a small non-smoking section, but there's no way to get choked out in that either.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
From the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from the Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Pinky's Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Unwrapped and Acoustic Holidays going down December 12th. Angel of the Winds Arena in Everett. Man, this is going to be a show for you. Our buddies Brent Smith and Zach Myers of Shinedown fame taking the stage in acoustic fashion, which you know, if you know those guys, it's going to be incredible.
It's going to be very, very good. Yeah, for sure.
Pretty Reckless, Daughtry, Hollywood Undead, and Mammoth, who are doing their own headlining tour when they're all done with this.
I know.
He's coming in just to play a special show for us.
Which is all. I'm a very big Mammoth champion right now.
And Unwrapped tickets right now as low as $55.
How many do we have left? Mike, you have an idea?
Of the VIP experience?
Is that all we have left?
Well, no, we got plenty of the $55 ones left.
Oh, but the VIP.
Yeah, so
that 11 left?
That's what I heard this morning. We had 11 left of those.
So if you're thinking about joining us that Friday night, head to KISW.com and secure your tickets now. You're gonna have a great time, man. That's going to be it's our first ever acoustic holiday show, and it's going to be a good one. All right, our question, what is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Anita. Hello. Welcome to the men's room.
How are you?
Hola.
We're doing good, Anita.
Hola.
Thank you.
So I was going to Las Vegas for my birthday a couple weeks ago, and I thought it'd be funny to get some more miles by going through LA instead of going on a straight shot, because we're going to have dinner and massages and get to LAX. The flight is canceled as we land. The closest time they can get us to Las Vegas together is more than 24 hours.
Wow. You could drive there quick.
I know. From L.A. to Vegas. Good Lord, man.
Yeah, it was only like a five-hour drive. So we're like, But we look at the board. What's the last flight out? The only flight out that night is to Costa Rica. We're like, Can we make this happen? So the flight attendants, everybody in the lounge where we're sitting, they're like, you can come stay with us. We'll drive you to wherever you want to go. We'll do whatever.
In Costa Rica.
In Costa Rica. So they ended up, getting booked to Costa Rica, and then they couldn't figure out seats. So we ended up getting upgraded to first class. Go to Costa Rica. So we land in Costa Rica. We can't get a flight out. We can only get a flight out the next day. So we're like, okay, let's go to the beach. Let's have fresh seafood, get a massage, come back, and fly home.
I noticed that getting a massage is very, very important to you in the story. You do not care what country you're in. Someone massage my sore ass. Where in Costa Rica were you, by the way?
So we went to Liberia, but we went to Tamarindo.
Okay.
So it's one of the touristy areas. So anyways, so we get on the flight home, and I'm like, okay, we still got a couple of days to kill. I already paid for a room in Vegas, yada, yada, yada. I look at the flights, and I'm like, oh, it's super cheap just to fly from Los Angeles back to Las Vegas and then home. We still had the ticket home from Las Vegas. So I go and I book the ticket. Well, he loses internet on his phone, and he didn't get a ticket. So he had to go on a different airline, like, hours later. It gets even better. I have to wait for him in the Las Vegas airport. I put in $5, and I win, like, $2,000.
Man, you had a hell of a trip, didn't you?
Anita, I want to travel with you, man. I mean, that's, like, you've got to be kidding
There's a positive travel story.
Yeah, it's a super positive, well, it's a super crazy positive travel story, but yes.
Wonder what's going on at LAX. I mean, if all the major cities, now to granted, Newark is not the greatest airport in the world.
It's in Newark.
It's not bad compared to LAX. I mean, as far as just aesthetically getting around, figuring out what things are, like LAX, I'm just surprised that they've never gone in there and said, hey, we could do an upgrade. You know, like SeaTac's always put in a new terminal trying to, you know, better the place.
Yeah, I do not like LAX.
LAX is just like, F it. You know, we're LA.
You're here.
Deal with it.
At least you got to go to Costa Rica, man. I went to...
But John Wayne's not bad.
Went to Costa Rica as a work thing back in the old sports station. But anyway, had a great time there. I'm there like 2 or 3 days. Ended up... Well, I didn't get in first class, but I got to book my seat a lot faster through first class by playing stupid. Because me and this guy, I met a journalist from Cleveland. He was also a bit of a drunk and an a-hole, much like myself. So we got on really well. So when we got to the airport and we're looking at this line, he's like, hey, man, no one's in line at first class. Can you play stupid? I can crush it. So we went up there. Lady's like, hey, this is the first class line. And we both did, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. She's like, no, look, don't worry about it. No big deal. I can still process your crap. That's where I met Carmen Electra, because she called us out on this and just went, if you don't... So everyone knows what Carmen Electra looks like. That's not exactly what she looks like without makeup, wearing sweats, and big-ass sunglasses. All right? And she's like 4'11". I mean, she's a tiny, tiny chick. And she's got maybe 5 or 6 people with her. But she calls me and this dude out. It's going smooth. And I say, hey, man, you know, whatever. I just wanted to wait in the line. She's like, why are you down here? So there's opening of a casino, blah, 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 blah. Where the Pussycat Dolls were the opening act at this casino. They had been booked. And I did not stay to watch them. But anyway, she asked, did you stay for the Pussycat Dolls? And I said, no, man, I've heard a lot about them, but to be honest with you, it's just not my type of thing. She's like, oh, it's too bad. I'm like, besides, it's not like Carmen Electra's going to F me. I am not aware that I'm speaking to Carmen Electra, okay? So she kind of smiles, and then she lifts her glasses. And in that moment, I realize, like, oh, my God. Like, what are the odds that you make this statement to her? So, but it's already out there in the universe. So now it's awkward because she's still looking at me. Her entourage is still looking at me. So I'm just like, I mean, am I right? And she's like, no, you're right. I'm like, cool. So I get on the flight.
But she married Dennis Rodman.
I know, man. I think
you got a shot.
I think this was pre-Dennis, I think.
Okay.
Either way, but no, she wasn't going to have sex with me, which is too bad. But anyway, get on the flight, land in Miami. I go to get my connecting flight. And a woman, she looks at my ticket, and she's like, honey, you're not supposed to be here. No. I'm connecting back up to Baltimore. This is just, she's like, you're supposed to be in Dallas, Texas. I was like, what? She said, they changed your flight. So they didn't change my flight before I boarded the flight that got me here. So I was like, what time did they change the flight? And she pulls it up. They changed my flight, according to her, about an hour after I had already taken off from Costa Rica. So I said, was I supposed to, like, open the door and jump into the ocean and goddamn swim to Texas? I'm like, I was already on the plane. And I thought that was a very reasonable explanation. Like, you were right, but both of these times can be confirmed. I was obviously in the air when this happened. This is no fault of mine, right? And she's like, yeah, but you're supposed to be in Dallas. I said, okay, but I'm not. Like, I'm in Miami. I'm just trying to get back up to Baltimore. This is supposed to be my connecting flight. But, well, it was, but they changed her flight. I'm like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Basically, I was on standby for 24 hours. I'm just in the Miami airport for 24 hours. I'm like, do you have a hotel voucher? No. Do you guys have any kind of food vouchers? No. And I won't say what airline it was at the time, because I swore them all for like 20 years after that. But I will say, as I'm talking to this woman at the airline, just like, guys, I have done nothing here. You changed my flight. I get it. But you changed it when I'm already in the air. Now I'm here, and I'm just trying to get on the flight that was originally booked for this. She's no help. A flight or one of the ticket people from Delta Airlines that I was not flying was in the booth next door. She's like, sir, come over here. We can help you. So I ended up on an entirely different airline, and I still had to wait 24 hours. But the woman from Delta, she was like, I'll tell you what, man. She gave me a voucher for food, which was cool. Did give me a voucher for a hotel, but I'm like, I don't want to do all that because I'm on standby, right? It was 24 hours.
And she racked out for a little bit.
Okay, so this was my beef about the Miami airport. I have since realized that this is true of most airports, but you don't notice until you want to lay down. They all have armrest.
Oh, yeah.
I never noticed because I never wanted to lay down before at the airport. But then I'm in Miami, and I mean, there's nothing going on, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just wanted to lay down. I could lay on the floor, or I get to sit up in the seat. So I just sat in the seat and slept that way. I was so pissed off, and I had to call out from work. So I had to call my job. I'm like, hey, you know that place you sent me for work? They're like, yes. I'm like, I'm going to miss tomorrow. Like, how hard did you party? I'm like, I party very hard, but that's not why I'm going to miss tomorrow, man. I'm like, I'm stuck in Miami. And why are you stuck in Miami? I'm like, because the freaking thing that you booked me, I don't know. I'm just here. There's nothing I can do. Finally got home, and I was like, F that other airline for about 20 years until my wife, I don't remember where we were flying, but what airline are we on? And she said it. And I'm like, She's like, dude, let it go. I said, no, you're right. You're right.
I'm a floor sleeper.
I've done it.
Yeah. I will now.
The worst was Newark. Because the people picking me up were late. And I was pissed. But they were like 3 hours late. And I had gotten off a red eye, right? Hadn't slept. But Yeah, so I slept down in baggage claim.
Ooh, then, classy.
Ugh.
Baggage is terrible.
And then when I woke up, there's nobody around me, and there's just this pigeon, like, just like right in my face. It was awful.
What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-RUN.
Right, and then when those people picked me up, we still had to drive right from Newark, New Jersey to Poughkeepsie, New York.
That's not a great drive.
And somebody had the nerve to ask me why I was in a bad mood. And I was like, you were supposed to be here 3 hours ago.
Mm-hmm. So then you start talking through your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm going to strangle you guys.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
So, long and short of it, my parents have been taking their 26-foot boat up north through the Queen Charlotte Straits, almost to Alaska. They go for about 3 weeks a month, and they just take their time and meander around and just have fun, fish and shrimp and crab. And they want my wife and I to go with them. Well, we can't take that kind of time off. So just a few years ago, my dad said, all right, screw it. I got you a float plane flight from Kirkland up to Echo Bay up in northern Canada. You're going to meet us there, spend a week, leave on a Monday, get back on a Friday. So we get down there, we jump on the plane. We did a bunch of little stops, you know, drop in, drop out, and it's just my wife and I by the time we get to where we're gonna land. I asked the pilot, Jason, I said, hey, you mind if I, you know, get in the co-pilot seat? He says, yeah, just don't touch anything, you know. So yeah, right. So we fly, we spend a week up there. It was beautiful. Jason comes back, picks us up. We fly back on Friday. It was about 3 months later, there was a plane that went down off of Whidbey Island. It's like an 8-seater plane, float plane. And my wife says, oh, my God, that's our pilot. His pilot's name was Jason, super cool guy. And There was like 8 people on board. That was our pilot, and that was our plane.
Jeez, man.
Well, I think they had like a rudder problem or something on the back tail of the aircraft.
I think I vaguely remember the
whatever
story.
The screw thing on the back just snapped, and he had no control.
Jeez, man.
We had a similar, we didn't know. Well, maybe we talked to him. We were at the bar in Anchorage at the Marriott, and there was a guy, and he was getting a little tuned up, but he had made mention of the fact that it was like whatever time it was, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever. Mm. He needed to stop then and cash out because as far as the time, or whatever the deal was, he was flying out like the next day at noon or something.
Yeah, so he had to cut himself off.
He just
off.
Had to stop at this point in time to be okay to fly. And we're like, oh, man, that's cool. What do you fly? He's like, China. And I'm like, we're like, wow, that's badass. He's like, yeah, fly for FedEx. And, man, we got back probably 6 months later. He somersaulted that thing down the damn runway. And
exploded.
Same name. It's got to be the same guy.
It was that guy.
Flight left from Anchorage. It's the same dude, man. End over, wing over end over end over end.
And I didn't piece it together, man. And I saw it on the news like the night before. And I'm just like, man, that sucks. When I get into work, Miles is like, hey, man, remember that dude we met in Anchorage? I'm like, oh, he was a cool guy. He's like, that was his plane. So mm-hmm. Like, oh, God.
Well, it's weird with those smaller planes. Like, they're obviously safe because people use them all the time.
Sure.
But, yeah, like that guy, like that story he was telling, you do worry when you're in them. Like, Jesus.
I think because, I don't know, you just feel like the bigger something is, you know, the more secure. It's like driving a truck versus driving a sports car or whatever. And you're used to get on passenger planes. You're like, all right. And then when you get on those little ones, part of it is you feel everything that big jets don't let you feel.
Yeah.
Every vibration, the turbulence seems, you know, 8,000 times worse. And it's like, man, you've been through this before, but somehow on a small plane, it just... Everything feels very famous.
Hey, man, you know? I've seen a guy, because the planes were flying into Charleston, West Virginia, God almighty, knock on wood, I got to fly on one on Thanksgiving. But there's a curtain. There is a curtain between you and the two pilots.
Yeah.
A curtain. They have the
cockpit door.
Like a shower curtain, I swear to God. But he had it open. And there's this dude standing out front of the ladder going, like spinning the freaking and he can't get the damn thing. I'm just like, oh, man.
It won't catch?
I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And then he wrapped it back the other way and finally went, and I was like, oh, thank God. It took him like 5 minutes to get the damn thing going. I'm like, this sucks. You know, it's like one of those airlines, like, you're flying United, but this is like
Horizon Central sunny crappy airline that you're on, or whatever. You're on a subsidiary.
They're a partner.
Yeah, they're buddies of ours.
Yeah, they always say a partner. And I'm like, do they know that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you just throwing this out there? Because, like, I'm looking at this rickety ass.
It should be
plane.
Called, like, Good Luck Air.
Yeah.
Good luck.
If you land, it's good enough.
Good luck. What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick question for you, Ted. You flew to the islands, what, a month ago, 2 months ago?
Yeah, I flew out to Lopez.
All right, one of the small planes. Now, when you get on a regular passenger plane, you got to sit through the FAA rigmarole. You know, hey, man, pull down this mask, do this. If this happens, blah, blah, blah. Do they do that when you're on a small plane?
Yeah, it's just a lot quicker. And it's just like, hey, there's this and that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to go over exits because there's not really a ton of options.
So it's kind of like Godspeed, guys.
Yeah, like he ran through it real quick. But, like, yeah, I mean.
Do they have masks that even drop?
I don't believe so.
Or do you not even get up high enough for that to matter, I guess?
I don't think you do. Well, I mean, they're not going to come out and just be like, I don't know. If it goes down, we're done.
Right.
So, I mean, they run through it. I want to say there was a flotation of ice, but, like, you don't have to talk about the exits and the.
No. There's a way in Africa. Get on the plane. We're going to take off as soon as this old lady walks up, then and you're off.
That's it.
They only fly at like 5,000 feet. So you're almost like looking down like elephant.
Really? They fly that low?
Oh, God, yeah. They're flying, you know, like over the equivalent of looks like the Serengeti.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's open planes. And just
is that a cooler experience?
There's animals running. You feel like you're on that flight ride at Disneyland.
Now, ironically, I was going to say, I don't know how it was for you, but for me, like, I didn't realize. It's the one day we did it, the first day, was that Friday in August where it was just rainy and windy.
Yeah.
So when it would go up and down, it's because when you get over the other islands, the wind shear comes up.
Yep.
So being over the water was much smoother.
Yeah, so it's almost like you're in the rain cloud.
Yeah.
You know, being protected, so to speak. What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
I'll do it again, though.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Hello, Ed. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So back in 72, I was in the Marine Corps. And coming home, I was going to get to go home for the first time. And my buddy gave me a hit of acid. And I was getting on the airplane in Dulles, and he told me, you shouldn't have took the whole thing. That was a four-way hit, Ed. Oh. So that was a really great trip.
Yeah. You mean facetious, or do you mean for real, that was awesome?
It was friggin' awesome.
Highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah. Takeoff was spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just nice to be home.
Yeah, I bet it was.
I'm four hits of acid.
I bet it was.
I dig it.
What's your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jeremy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I was flying back and forth from Alabama to Seattle for wheelchair rugby tournaments. And one of my trips back, it was like an hour and a half flight. And I'm tired from the tryouts and practice and all that stuff. And so I go to take a nap. I got one of my teammates sitting beside me and fall asleep. And I wake up and my eyes are closed and I can hear everything going on around me. And I can't move my arms. I can't move my anything, but I can hear everything going on. So I will myself to open my eyes and I try to talk to the guy next to me. I can't get words out. So 10 minutes of me trying to, like, get words out, try to move. I can almost move my arm enough to, like, bump the dude beside me. Finally, I'm able to lift my arm up just enough to slap him. Well, I slap him, and he looks at me like I'm messing with him, so he thinks nothing of it. Finally, I'm able to get words out enough to say, help me, kind of. And it's like, help me. And I ended up having a stroke on the flight.
Yep.
And it was the scariest thing ever. And we had probably 45 minutes left of the flight. And in those 45 minutes, the flight attendant came over and she's checking in on me. And all in all, at the end, as we landed, I got all my function back. I was able to talk. They rushed in the EMTs and they start checking me out and throw me on the aisle chair to get me out. And she's like, you all right? Should we take you to the hospital? I was like, man, I got one more flight to get home. I've been gone. I just want to go home. So They're like, well, we can't force you.
Were you able to self-diagnose yourself when you were going through this? Were you able to say, like, could you logically think to yourself, I must have had a stroke?
No, I had no clue what was going on. I just, like, the first thing that came to my head was like, oh, my God. Not only am I paralyzed, now I can't do anything. So this went from bad to really worse.
Yep.
But, yeah, man, I was like, what is going on here? But as soon as I landed and I felt better, I was like, there's no way I'm going to go to the hospital. And I think we ended up in, like, Texas or something. I was like, I'm not staying here for another, I don't know how many days to get checked out. So jumped on another flight and flew home, but I definitely did not take a nap on that one. And
Yeah, terrified.
Probably never take a nap again on a flight.
Yep. Your guess is as good as mine on the way. The category is America's favorite sodas and countries that we would move to. And we got your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.